BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy.
Nothing wrong with the pussy. Wayno and Ray Daniels are beefing. Oh, here we go. Wayno goes off on Ray Daniels after questioning his decision to join the Black Effect, Charlamagne's Black Effect podcast network. So my assumption would be that this beef stems from a Ray Daniels relationship with Charlamagne. I would assume that Ray Daniels isn't the biggest fan of Charla. And that would just be why. Let's see. Let's read something here. Wayno is not one to bite his tongue when it comes to beefing or rebuttaling, which is like so pure who he is to the core, but also just like a very New York of him, and which is something I really respect from him. I honestly, I wish I embodied more of that in matters of conflict. But here's the quote. He says, "I have a Black Effect deal and you don't because you can't fuck with me. You run around all those pages and pay for posts to go viral, but I don't do that. I don't do this to go viral." Fair. I mean, I guess I don't think having a deal with Black Effect is like a aspirational thing for Ray Daniels at this point in his career. But I don't know. This doesn't seem like something. What I would assume is this is something between how Ray Daniels feels about Charlamagne, which obviously is negative. I would assume. Again, I don't know. And whatever words Ray Daniels said about Wayno doing this deal obviously rubbed Wayno the wrong way, and Wayno reacts the way in which Wayno reacts to things of this nature and just kind of set it off on him. Congrats to Wayno on the deal. The thing with that, though, is like obviously I would assume Wayno's not taking a deal for some bullshit. I think obviously he weighed the benefits of signing with them and joining the network. But I will say the way Wayno has been creating content and posting content, I personally admire his style and his format. He's very on top of his recordings. Even right now, as I'm speaking, he just dropped this video responding to a Ray Daniels clip. Like, he drops stuff in real time as moments and events are happening. He posts these like mid form to long form clips. And post a lot of them throughout the day. And I you know, a little envious of that freedom and ability to be able to do that. And honestly, it's a style of YouTubing that I would want to adopt or to be able to take on. But kudos to Wayno. I mean, yeah, he did it to the point that landed him a deal. So whatever this beef is, I mean, I guess it brings more noise and attention to his contract. So kudos to him. I don't think it'll hurt him whatsoever. Yeah, here it is. This is exactly what I expected. While Ray Daniels, at least is a paraphrasing what the beef is, while covering up the feud, this is the original tweet, while covering up the feud with Charlamagne the God, Ray hands his phone to a cast member to read a text message aloud, alleging Charlamagne was calling around asking about him. Let's read more of this. The text, quote, "Dude been calling around asking for information and asking about you, trying to dig up dirt. He's investigating your life." Ray's response, "Charlamagne, that's a waste of time." Ray says he's unbothered by the attempts to discredit him, citing over 20 years as an industry insider. See, that proves my point. I was speculating, and now we can just confirm that Wayno just seems to be a bystander of a much longer existing beef between Ray Daniels and Charlamagne. So Nolan Wells, I don't have an update on the Nolan Wells thing. Let's do this. Let me see. Oh, they did an interview. The fuck is this show? they're claiming to maintain their innocence. I mean, yeah, no shit. I don't know, man. This whole thing fucking sucks. I said this when it initially happened, and I'll say it again. I just don't think anybody will be held accountable for this in the state that it happened, Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. The like demographic of the people that live there, the skin color of the victim, the skin color of the alleged people involved. I like, you know, patterns exist, history exists. It's just the same thing in different flavors and different eras. It's just a what could have been a thing that was intentional or an accident or what have you. I just don't think either way any white kid with his whole life ahead of him is going to get jammed up for anything, even if there is a level of, like, you know, accountability or culpability that should be held for this incident. I just don't see it happening. This is how you know they're not going to get charged with shit. Why are these kids doing a public interview? If there was really something going down, if they're really going to be pursued as, you know, suspects in this case, they wouldn't be on a fucking random officer. They wouldn't be talking to the cops on a podcast. Talk about white privilege. What open investigation do you know of where it's just like some black dude could just go up and talk, sit across from an officer and ramble about that shit for an hour? What the fuck do they have to talk about? What is there to talk about? What can they say? Like, what is the purpose of that interview with those boys? That's what's making me mad. It's like, what are they there to say? What are they there to serve? Clearing their innocence and then being like, oh yeah, Nolan was like a good guy. Like, what is the purpose of them getting on that show? Because it's not to find justice or like to really bring some peace and resolve to this whole situation. It's to clear their name and to like say three nice things about Noah. Oh, he was really good at football. Like, I don't trust any of that. What we got? Jay-Z and Beyonce are dropping. Let's look this up. I did see this. Yeah, this came out a while ago. I'm not even going to lie. I haven't played this snippet, the song, anything. I don't care. The thing with Jay-Z and Beyonce, for me at least, is, well, to be honest, if I'm being like completely honest, which the only thing I know how to do, I don't listen to Beyonce. So like that doesn't really move the needle for me at all. I don't really care for her music. I'm not going to shit on it. It's just not for me. And with Jay, it's like the whole thing of like, they're back. They're the hot, the couple, they're there forever. It's Jay and B. Like I just, that cell has never done it for me. Like in terms of seeing them perform together, like at the show in the Yankee Stadium, when Jay was doing those shows and she was doing like literally like backup vocals and singing hooks and shit. That's fire. That's so cool. Like, that's great. I love that. That's like, that's a flex. My girl's up here singing with me. That's cool. But it's also like, she's not singing Beyonce records. She's just singing like, you know, doing like the Peace of Mind hook and shit like that. Which is cool. But, am I looking for new music from them? No. Also, according to your comment here, it doesn't seem like the internet is really like dying for new music from them either. So it doesn't sound like I'm a hater here. It sounds like this is like the general consensus.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The question is from Jiggy and Dope. Should Celeste's parents be held accountable too? Celeste is the name of the young girl that was murdered by the rapper David or D4, whatever, however you pronounce his name. I don't know what her parents' involvement is. I think it's poor parenting, and it's stupid of them for them to let like their daughter run around with this someone that's like, you know, that much older than her and leads the specific type of life that he lives. But I don't know specifically what her parents' relationship it was with David, or were they like encouraging her to be around him, or what the nature of like their involvement could have been. Let's see. So yes, like if it's look, if it's they knew about, let's read this here. So David and Celeste's respective parents knew about their relationship, according to LAPD detective. David attended church with the family. So like, this is the thing, like if it's mutually agreed upon that this age gap, which we can all agree on here, is weird and wrong, and we can get that out the way. It's fucking weird. But in like in terms of what is societally constitutes weird, if that thing is then mutually agreed upon by the two parties that are involved with it, then they move forward with like business as usual. So in this case, it's like David's parents were cool with it. Celeste's parents were cool with it. There's your unity. And now they're doing like wholesome shit. Like even in this report, like from this tweet, they were going to church together. Like that to me, if I just read that, like that's not a red flag, because you know, it's church. What's more wholesome and pure than church? Fuck religion. So like that, like if that's what the report is, like if they were like doing lunch dates and barbecues and like wholesome, like cutesy couple shit, then like no. But obviously this guy David was like hella violent. Like this wasn't a single outburst from him. He put her in, you know, dangerous situations before then, and then at that point it's like the discretion of the parents to intervene. You know, I'm not a parent. If I were a parent, this whole situation wouldn't have happened, or like would have been avoided. I just don't think this is something that would even come across my radar. But I think it's neglectful for the parents to like not see, you know, if you're a parent, you've got to go through your daughter's phone at some point, like the angry text messages, the life-threatening messages, the maybe bruises or like, you know, scars and things that she had at the time before like the big incident. But yeah, it's terrible. I don't see why they shouldn't be held accountable at this point though. So this genuinely happened at Friday night. I was at a friend's apartment, in Brooklyn. It's this great like little backyard, did a homemade dinner party. Food was amazing. That meal was incredible. He really smoked that. But we were all like, you know, probably like five or so bottles of wine deep. There were five of us there. So five, six bottles of wine deep. We're all pretty toasted. And we started just talking about music. And for some reason, this album came up. My one friend just, to be honest. And I was on music. So I played it. I connected it to the speaker and just played this album. I played it from the top. Ended up listening to it straight through. And then we just kept not defending it, but just talking about how amazing this project was. Went home that night, slept on it, woke up the next day, and then like was in the shower, whatever, after the gym. And I said to myself, I was like, man, this album is really, I think in his discography, underrated. And I think people hold Astroworld to a higher standard than it deserves. I think like what made Astroworld was it was many levers being pulled at once. The Kardashian relationship, the sicko mode being what it was, and like a couple other moving parts that like took him from like a hip hop household name to like a mainstream household name. And it just, Astroworld felt more cinematic and commercial. Like it was very much like a world building thing. But a lot of the big records on Astroworld are big, and it's like, you can't like, again, it's really sicko mode, but like you can't deny or downplay the impact and the cultural like relevance that sicko mode had. And that whole summer was in a chokehold. And it was in a competitive summer. That was a tough summer for music, in terms of tough, meaning competition wise, there was a lot of great music coming out around then. But sicko mode still like cut through all that noise. But for me, Astroworld is just a better sounding album. It just has better, It conceptually is better. I think the track list is much stronger. My only critique, and one of my very few critiques of Birds in the Trap, is I love the song Guidance. I just don't think it fit on this album. I think that could have just been on a different project, or just put out as like a loose year or a single. I think it sonically doesn't fit the profile of the rest of the project, but that being said, it's still a great song. But yeah, I've been listening to it a lot lately. I would encourage all of you to tap back in to that album. And even the features at that point, we had Kendrick right after Damn came out. You had 21 Savage at his peak. We also had an amazing Bryson Tiller feature. And at that time, remember, this is 2015, is it, or 16, 2016. So this is like when all these other artists are really like either at their ascension or at their peak. We also had Thug and Quavo. Quavo, this is again like when the Migos were much hotter at that point in their careers. It just hits on a better note for me. I think like the music takes bigger risks. You can really hear the sound that Travis created, that Kanye really helped define Kanye's music at the time. You can hear Travis do it on his own shit. So you can like kind of hear that influence that he's had on other giants in the culture finally be applied to his own music. It's great. And then obviously because of that conversation, we were dipping into Rodeo, which Rodeo does have my favorite Travis record. 90210 is my favorite Travis song. I could argue that one for extensive amounts of time. I think that's just what a beautiful, beautiful song, a real journey of a record. And the video is pretty cool as well, if you're into the visual stuff. Ye might be the best artist of 2026. No one is doing it like him right now. While you have mentioned Ye, let me pull up this tweet that he just sent. He's doing like insane concerts right now. Look at this. He just dropped a music video. But this video, all the lights, this is unbelievable. This is going off during his All the Lights performance. I mean, the thing with Kanye too right now, at least, is like he's announcing tour dates in countries that are just like not stadium. Like no one else can do what he's doing, is I guess what I'm saying, in terms of like pulling those types of audiences and generating that many of people. Like these are like, you know, sports teams can't pull the type of clubs like the fill the stadiums and the rooms and the places that Kanye's doing these shows in. I mean, he's going. It's so unbelievable, the scale of these shows. And it's just, let me see his schedule. Here we go. I'll pull this up. I mean, look at this shit. This is crazy. So he's got, I mean, oh God, I would love to go back to Chicago and go to one of these two. The 3rd and 4th at Soldier Field, my former home in Chicago. And then this mug is going to fucking St. Petersburg, Russia, and then Jakarta. Like, who else is ripping shows in Jakarta and St. Petersburg? That's crazy, right? Like, the guy kind of has, like, free reign on the world to just go and sell out arenas and stadiums everywhere he goes. Like, what is this stadium in Jakarta? Let's look this up. What's the capacity of this stadium in Jakarta? Let's see. I wish I could fucking click. Let's see. What is the scale of this stadium? How many seats are we talking here? And you got to remember, for a concert, it's going to be more. Because this is probably, it says 77,000, but we're talking about a concert, so you can put people on the floor. So you're looking at probably another, like, I don't know, 10,000 or so people that can be on the floor. It says the stadium has a capacity of 110,000 people. So I'm wondering, that's how are they doing the design? I mean, we know what the set looks like, but how are they filling out these fields? And let's see if we can see on the seating chart here.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards, payback, and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. People are going to be on the floor. Like, we're going to have people surrounding the globe. It's really funny. He's in the middle there, if you can see on the computer. No, he's not. That's just whatever. Looked like him for a second. But these are all, yeah. So this could be pushing 100,000 people, which is unbelievable. I don't know what these, the money conversion is here, but yeah, he's doing it, man. He's really back. He's back. Yeah. Salute Chi-Town, man. I miss Chicago. I saw the, some disastrous videos and photos from Lollapalooza when it rained after, I believe it was day one. But I have a lot of friends there. It looked like a good time overall, though. Unfortunately, this is another Chicago-less summer for me. I haven't been back there in a few summers. But, I still got love for that city like crazy. But, yeah, he's pulling up to countries and just doing whatever the fuck he wants. It's kind of crazy. I haven't seen Kanye live since... Life of Pablo tour, which I did see in Chicago, by the way, which is one of my favorite concert stories. Well, not that one. My favorite concert story from Chicago that involves Kanye was I went to see Drake and Future during the What a Time tour. And I've just moved to Chicago. I'm a broke teacher, starting to like really go to concerts for like the first time or whatever. And I go with a few friends of mine who are also teaching. And this is at the United Center. And Drake and Future are fucking doing their thing, and they're killing it. And the setup of the show was Future went first, and then Drake came out, and then they came out together and did like back and forth records and like features and did the album, you know, for What a Time. And at one point you hear the pop style instrumental, the do-do-do, just pop style. I'm not going to sing it, but you know the song I'm talking about. So the lights like dim, and then out of nowhere, like, there's a single spotlight that's just like in the middle of the stadium on the stage, and from the ground, just in, and this is Yeezus era. This is Yeezus era Kanye. He has on the bedazzled diamond mask and like this like the big old cut off, and he just like dripped the fuck down with the Yeezy. He had the red Octobers on. He just comes out and just does that verse and just shuts the fucking stadium down. It was unbelievable. And then not only that, like, he also stuck around and did Can't Tell Me Nothing, which in Chicago, forget about it. And then he also did, is this like, I'm trying to remember at the time, was there a single or was something out on Life of Pablo? Or Life of Pablo may have been out by then because of when this tour actually happened. I believe he did a record off of Life of Pablo, which was so sick. Really good time. I love that show. Kanye is so fucking good live. What else? Oh, I saw... This is fun. If you guys haven't seen this, I would highly recommend. If you guys are, you know, I love my my films. I saw the movie Tony. If you're not familiar, it's a movie about a very specific time in Anthony Bourdain's life. And it's really good. Matt Johnson directed it. Matt Johnson is an incredible director and actor, comedian. I have a lot of respect for him. His stuff is awesome. Nirvana, the band, the movie, is a film that he put out earlier this year that was fantastic. And he's just a really creative guy and does really great work. And this was the first film that he's done that he's not in. So it was cool to just have him fully in director mode. But it's basically capturing a summer from Vassar, where Bourdain went to college, of Bourdain first getting the taste of what it's like to be inside of a kitchen. And the main character is played by Dominic Sessa, and he's awesome. And I was hung out with him this weekend. A good friend of mine is friends of his. And after that dinner party, I met up with Dominic and my friend, and it was my first time meeting Dom. It was cool. Like everybody was pretty fucked up, but we were like talking film, and just like talking shit and just like, getting to know each other. But he's young. He's a 23-year-old kid, cool ass kid. And just has a really bright future in film, but a really fun hang. And we had a really, really fun night. That was a late one. I got home very late, or I should say early in the morning. But yeah, great kid. Obviously, we got the legend as well, Antonio. Banderas is in this film. It's a banger. Amelia Jones plays his love interest. She does a great job. My boy Stavros Halkias is one of the mains as well. He plays the bully chef in the kitchen. It's a really, really fun watch. If you're not into film, I still would recommend it. I just think Bourdain led one of the most interesting lives, period. And it's funny. But you learn a lot, and it's like a good way. It's a good film to round out.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards, payback, and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Summer. Hi, Cindy. How you doing? Oh, crappy. Wow, what's going on? Talk to me. This just segues into what I was going to say. I was going to say, if anybody has anything they want to talk about. All right, my partner compares me to his friend's wife. She's Japanese and a housewife. She is ultra feminine, according to my partner. Meanwhile, I have my career in fundraising and take care of our daughter. And I pay for my car and my house bills. I don't get it. What's the issue? I mean, it sounds like you're the one that's contributing and doing a lot to your household. I don't think that's an issue. What husband would complain that their wife has a full-time job and takes care of their kids? You know? Sure, he pays the mortgage, but like that's a pretty, I feel like, standard setup in a relationship. You said you pay for your car and house bills. Sounds fucking great to me. I don't know. What is the complaint from his end? What is he looking for? Does he want you to contribute less? You're doing a lot. I don't know what's the beef? Does he want you to be Japanese? I don't know how you can work on that. Maybe you order sushi tonight. I don't know. He wants me to be soft-spoken and feminine. Yeah, but he married you. Like he should know that. You don't meet a friend's Japanese wife to then discover that the woman you fell in love with and love isn't like that person. Like, this seems a little, you know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck is this guy talking? Respectfully to your husband. But like, he's not like he just met you. He knows who you were. He married you. He thinks his friend is lucky. How long is this? How long are you dating? How long have you been married for? ethnic wise, what are you? 6 years together. Okay, that's good. There is, they say the curse is 7 years. Not to throw that on you, but like that's a stand, like that's a thing that people say. But Cindy, yeah, what do you look like? What's your, is it a matter of like, damn, is your husband like, I've never been with a Japanese woman. She looks different, not only like physically, but also her temperament is different. And that might be like intriguing to him. Cause like, that's understandable, but that's not like, I need my wife to be this person. That's fucking weird. 5'11" black woman. Shout out. Say 6 feet. Makes you sound like, you know. I guess my question is like, what, like, if he wants you to be someone that you're not, then that's already stepping, that's on the wrong foot. But also like, does this mean, does he want you to assume the role of this woman in meaning that like, does he want you to just be a stay-at-home wife that doesn't pay for shit, that like you don't pay bills, you don't do like, you know, you're just quiet. Like, do you really be like, bet, like, cool. If you want me to be a Japanese fucking housewife, then I just will stop paying for shit and just be a quiet, like, person that just exists in, like, in the home and is ultra feminine, which is ridiculous. Like, I feel like he's cherry picking the qualities of this other, of his friend's girl that he would want for you to embody. But you're obviously just not who that person is. And he knows that because you've been together for 6 years and he loves you for who you are. Because you wouldn't be, you know, in this situation. So it's like a, it seems like a very, you know, childish, like college kid minded way to look at this. Like, oh, that's different. I want to try that. You know, it's like not rooted in a relationship or like a reality, the reality of like his life. Yeah, of course. No shit. Yes, yeah, of course. If Sydney goes, he likes I bring my money home. I bet he fucking does. But go ahead. Like, stop bringing your money home and start being quiet and just go stand in the corner. Be all Japanese with it. See what happens. I bet he's real quick. Be like, whoa, wait a minute. Don't stop working. We bring back all that bread. What about the bills this month? What happened to this? Da, da, da. All that shit that isn't who that woman is, that you are, that's what he likes. He likes that. He likes a very specific like part. Exactly. Like this whole, like, what, first of all, what is having it all? Cause he didn't even know this whole Japanese thing is new for him. It's not even like a real thing. It has nothing to do with his life. How does he mean he wants you to be more feminine? Like, what does that mean? I'm assuming, is this like you, if, you know, just regular household relationship arguments and shit, or like, you know, disagreeing on specific things? Like, what about what is currently happening in your relationship that he sees in that relationship that he's like, damn, I wish that was more like us? Cause that doesn't seem fair. Cause that's to the point. Like, that's him just being picky choosy with things that he's seeing from afar and being like, damn, that seems cool. Let's try that. But if he wants all that, then you can stop paying for bills. How about that? So feminine. Okay. So I was thinking when you said feminine, I don't know why my mind went to like subservient and like someone that is kind of told what to do and kind of like a sub. But in this case, it sounds like you're saying more of a maternal figure. Okay, maternal, that's different than what I was under the assumption, because this whole Japanese thing, I wasn't assuming it was done in a maternal way. I was assuming the friend was more like telling this woman how to act and like, you know, going to the restaurant and looking at the waiter and being like, she'll have the salad. You know, stuff that all women deserve. So, yeah, I was a little confused on that point. But he wants you to be like the mother and just really, okay, cook, clean. I mean, look, like in any relationship, like I'm sure those are conversations and things that you've had before. Like correct me if I'm wrong, Cindy, but I would assume there are nights and there are meals where you may cook and he cleans and vice versa, where he might clean and you cook. Like, I feel like those are things that are pretty well established when you're living with somebody quite early in a relationship, where it's like either roles are defined or it's like, we just do shit together. Like, you know, this, I'll take out the like in my household growing up, my dad loved like yard work, like, you know, or taking out the trash or doing laundry. Like, my dad genuinely enjoyed doing laundry. So like, there were things that like they would just divvy up. And my mom's a great cook. She'd always be the cook. But my dad, like currently when I go home, my mom loves to cook. My dad likes to clean the dishes. So it's like you have those things that each person contributes, but it's not like that makes one of them less of a man or less of a woman because they're doing something that might be associated with the other, you know, sex. You know, like it's, I don't think it's fair to invite a comparison into like very, as like, you know, benign as like, as small as like those household chores are, there is no like apply all. And it's very specific to how each people live, run their own household. You know, look, maybe the takeaway is like, if there are times to be more soft or more intimate or more maternal, then, you know, when you see those opportunities and those windows open up, maybe lean into those. I'll get to you in a second, Chase. I'm reading your comment right now, but let me wrap with Sydney really quickly. But the travel stuff's very interesting to me. I'll be with you in a hot second. The salad part as well. So, okay, well then that's not, the salad thing's different because that's, to my point, that's him being controlling in a, like, part of my language, but it's like, you know, this is my bitch. I tell her what she gets. I tell her what she can eat, what she can drink. Like, but that's the opposite of maternal, where like, if he wants you to be the mother figure, you're the one that's like taking charge, but also like being like a soft, loving figure. So it's like, which one is it? Cause they're two very different things. So I have you guys spoken about this? Like, what's the extent of the conversation that you're having with regards to this stuff? Cause right now it just seems like there's a lot of confusion between, well, clearly you don't want what he's saying. So I hope that that's at least been communicated, at least based on these messages. It doesn't sound like you want that shit at all, which I do not blame you. Get that shit the fuck out of here. It shouldn't be on you to change who you are at all. But I'm sure that there's some type of middle ground that could be met that appeases both of you. I think that's important, and it's more important to have those conversations. Yeah. See the silence treatment. That's not good. Cindy, you can't go silent. My thing with like conflict is like, and I mean, honestly, the biggest case I learned through this was on the old podcast. It's like, I feel like silence is more beneficial to the person. Like if it's mutual silence, there's one person benefiting more from the silence. And I feel like right now that may be your husband. My thing is like, don't run from an uncomfortable conversation just because the answer or the outcome might not be the one that you want to hear. At least establish what, like where you guys are mutually and like ground that conversation in respect and then figure out ways to adapt moving forward. And then when those instances come up, like when you are having a meal and you're cooking dinner, like don't wait for the other person to make the right decision. Talk through those moments at the time they're happening or refer back to the conversation that hopefully you have with him sooner than later, where you say, hey, remember when we spoke about this? We said this is what we would do moving forward. Here's that opportunity. Let's do it. And if it doesn't work, it's not like that's set in stone. If that doesn't work, then hey, look, we can always adapt. We can always adjust. Like we're fluid with this shit. Like it does not, everything has to be like, you know, a binding law. But I just wouldn't let the silence stew because the silence will just snowball. And then before you know it, this is like what seemed so little, like this, the current situation can then consume and take on other parts of your relationship, which could be more catastrophic. You know, you just don't want it to get to the point where it seems like it's beyond the control. And then what the initial disagreements were are so far beyond what the actual point of this beef is. Okay, let's read this. Yes, I do like him. I let him go for his research 2 months in Japan. Oh, okay. So I didn't know. There's some context here. He really was immersing himself in Japanese culture. That is, look, like that, like it's a, that's a culture shock unlike any other. And you know, that is like, which is kind of, if I were to wrap my brain around this, going to Japan and seeing the dynamic between men and women is like, without understanding the cultural context of that country, seeing how men and women interact in Japan, to me, and I'm not saying your husband is this type of guy, but I would imagine is like a manosphere's wet dream. Like the people that are like the Joe Rogan crowd and like the fucking like, we love the Tate brothers and those fucking people, because of how like the role in which how really like, you know, women are down here and men are, it's a culture based on respect, but there certainly is like a sexual hierarchy where you're really made to feel like king if you're a guy out there. Do I think that dynamic is bad? Look, I think we're so far beyond the point of like trying to bring rigidity into certainly people's homes, but like, no, like Japan's culturally been around for thousands of years. I think there's a different, I think that the issue is an American being exposed to that and then misinterpreting how that culture works within that society, and then trying to bring that shit back to America where that's not how it works here. But all you really want is like a woman that like shuts the fuck up and like cleans. It's like, no, like you're misinterpreting and misrepresenting what the Japanese culture actually is. That's where the danger lies in my mind. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Japanese culture in itself. I'm sure there's whatever, but like it's specific to this point. No, like that, but that's their normal. That's what they know. I think people, which it sounds like what your husband's doing, is like he's cherry picking certain things that he likes about those dynamics and then trying to like recreate. Like, oh, it's like the guy that was like, you know, goes abroad in college and then comes back for like the second semester, and they're like, they go to Spain, and then they're like in their dorm room, and it's like 3 o'clock, 4 p.m. and they're like, oh, I need to take my siesta. It's like, you're not like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're not, if you need to take a nap, take a nap. Like, you're not Spanish. Like, you did, you're from Connecticut. Shut up. Like, it's like that. It's like, you're just adopting things that are convenient for your life and things that you just want to do to make your like self sound, you know, cultured and unique. Is that, I'm just gonna read the comment. I'm Nigerian and I don't think there is some deeper context in particular societies. I think they just also want women to shut up and serve them. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's as simple as that, because like these are patriarchal societies, so the men are just deciding what, you know, in these cultures what women do. I mean, these are countries like Nigeria, these are countries that, you know, or where kings are in power. These are men-dominated societies. So if you're in a man-dominated society, you can tell women what the fuck they should do. And that matriculates from the highest of courts down to the lowest people, like in the caste system. You know? I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't think it's great. But I do think when a whole culture is bought in on something, there is more to it than just like a visitor hijacking things that they like and trying to recreate those in their own home. I think that's bullshit. Okay, real quick, I'm going to wrap on this because I actually have to be somewhere not in a little bit. Let's go to Chase's comment. Chase Allen. Hey, bro, I just turned 26. My most profitable year. Shout out to profits. I've been solo traveling and traveling with friends, but I'm starting to feel like I'm avoiding real life. And traveling has started to feel like an escape. Wow, did I write this fucking comment? How have I balanced that? I don't think I have. There was a time. I mean, shit, this year, of course, Sydney, you're welcome. This year, I've spent a lot of time out of the country. It's something I've been wanting to do. I mean, you're way ahead of me. I'm in my 30s, finally doing solo travel. Kudos to you for getting ahead of it early. It was one of those things that I'm like, I was always like, I know I'll do, but I kept pushing it off. But I'm happy to say that I did it, but going through like difficult things with work and my career, and I had the time to travel. I went to, you know, Paris, then Barcelona. And then I would feel like when I would come home, I didn't feel like, for the first time in living in New York in the city, I felt like I was itching to leave, which has never happened to me here before, because I wasn't fulfilling things in my career So in my mind, I was like, well, if I'm not doing things that advance my career while I'm in New York, let me fill up my cup with culture and go to other countries, experience, meet new people. Let me like make myself a better person and go, you know, go to new museums, rent bikes and go to shows and just live, experience new food, just be a local in a new country. Because again, that's just something I've always been wanting to do. But you're saying here that's starting to feel like an escape. I'm with you, bro. Like I felt like for a minute I was like running away from whatever responsibilities or, you know, things that I should be doing here to deepen my roots in this city with my family, with my career, because there's always the easy excuse, you know, when you're abroad, the cell service is shit, your hours ahead or behind, and you can kind of just really fall off the grid in a fun way, which I tend to do. I can really, really enjoy my alone time. And mind you, during my travels, I was traveling alone for all of it. There was a week in Paris when I was with Boz, and then like a week, like 4 days in Mexico City when I had a friend there. But I was, you know, in these places for far longer than that. And I was alone for most of it. Don't stop traveling, because if you can and you have the time and you have the income, the funds to do so, I would never say stop doing that. But my issue was like when I would return in New York, it'd be like, oh, the party's just going to continue in New York. So then I would just look for like, you know, let's go to this happy hour. Like, let's go to this show. Like, just look for like that level of like heightened dopamine release, like even while I was home, and still like kind of shelving like my priorities that I should have been focusing on. My advice, you would just be like, ground yourself in both realities. Like, you deserve this time to travel. You deserve to experience all these new things, but you also, to continue to do those things, you have to also prioritize. You can't lose yourself in that process and like become victim. Like, you can't escape yourself, you know, like soak up new cultures, read new books, like make friends, meet new people while you're traveling. That's a fucking luxury, is to have homies in every city that you go to. So when you go back, you know who you can count on. You can get a beer with this person. Like, I have friends that I'm so excited to go back to see in all these different cities. I don't know what you feel like you're running from, but you're saying it feels like an escape. And I'm not saying you have to tell me or like pour that into this, you know, comment section here, and give that the time it deserves as well. Don't neglect that, because the running in any situation doesn't help. Even to Cindy earlier, we were just talking about like Cindy, like saying that her and her man are like in this pinch, but they're avoiding the conversation. Don't run from the thing. It's going to either you run towards it and confront it, or it's just going to hit you like a wall, and it's going to put you in a position where it might be too late, when you could have done a much better job of handling this if you just got ahead of it, you know? So whatever this thing that you're trying to escape from, I don't know. I'm a bit firm believer in like seeing things or speaking them out loud. Write it down, like put it on a whiteboard, see it, like have it out there in front of you. So it's like not something that's just like looming, because I know what you're going through right now. Like it's the thing when you go to bed at night, especially when you're not traveling, when you're home, that's just ringing in the back of your head. And it's not going to go away. That shit's not, it's never going to go away. So just address it. That's the best I can say. All love, Chase. I'm rooting for you, homie. Guys, this is great. I thoroughly enjoyed doing this. I got a wrap. I got a film to catch. I got to figure out what I'm going to watch, but I am running a little late. But we did a little over an hour, which is perfect. The time that I'm going for each Monday night is 8:00. So this will be a thing that I keep going, because to be honest, I've said it before and I'll say it again, sitting and looking at a camera and not having anybody in the room and just pretending to know what people want to hear from me is far more difficult than coming on here and having people to actually talk to and engage with. So this is great. You can plan on this next Monday. Yeah, same time, 8:00, 8 p.m. Eastern. But yeah, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. But yes, the live stream format will be my my go-to moving forward. And I will be, if you're still listening to the pod on like Apple or Spotify and on YouTube, I finish the stream and then I edit this down. So like you're here experiencing the full thing. This is like, we're at a minute and hour and six right now, but you know, maybe the full thing will be like 40 or so minutes or so, cause I'll be trimming things out. And kind of just making it tighter for a listening and viewing experience for those that aren't in the live. So just to keep you heads up on that as well. If you joined late or missed something or want to share a certain part of this with somebody, there will be the opportunity to share the audio and the YouTube as well. So yeah, I'm still in my editing bag. I didn't learn all these new skills for nothing, guys. I'm taking the shit and I'm running with it. Yes, B. Cole, you will be able to listen to this tomorrow. But I appreciate you all. Thank you all so much. This has been amazing. Enjoy your night, everybody. Peace. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing
wrong with the pussy. BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.